Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. My name is Nick Bondi. I am joined, as always, by my brilliant co-host, Lachlan Irvin. Lachlan, we've got two more games of preseason to talk about, and the roster is starting to slowly take shape.
It sure is, I'm sure you're excited to talk about Nick Batan having scored
a
goal.
My boy scored.
We're starting to see a real team take shape here. Obviously, Pedersen and Hughes are coming back. That's huge. And then we had our first round of cuts during this the game tonight against Winnipeg. During their 3-2 win, they announced the first round of cuts. Guys who you probably saw coming weren't necessarily in the plans to immediately make the team. We're starting to see a little bit more closer to what this final NHL group will look like.
Yeah, so we're going to obviously talk about the two preseason games that happened over the weekend. We'll get into also talking about the Jim Benning, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes media availability. They had their media availability today. Petey and Hughes are back in town. And we'll end the show with, the training camp cuts, the first round of training camp cuts. But let's get right into it. The two preseason games, obviously they lost to Calgary on Friday night, but bounced back with a 3-2 win over the Winnipeg Jets. Jets were playing kind of a weaker lineup tonight. Canucks had a few guys who were missing from their Friday preseason game. And I thought that the game tonight was fun to watch. Not really so much against Calgary. The Calgary game was kind of a downer, but again, they were missing a lot of key players, the Canucks were. I thought Connor Garland tonight, especially in the game against Winnipeg tonight, I thought he was awesome. I think he's going to be a fan favorite here in Vancouver, Lachlan. He has that good mix of skill and tenacity that I think fans here in Vancouver are really going to appreciate.
Absolutely. If there's one thing going back through the full history of the Canucks, right back to when they started, is there's always been a big connection for Vancouverites to kind of like the blue collar lunch pail going to work.
We like our gritty guys.
Yeah, very much so. And especially like a lot of that started in the early 70s when Vancouver was, a little bit more of like a scrappier, like industrial type city. It's changed. The demographic has changed a lot in that time, but the love for those type of players hasn't. And Garland fits that bill very well. He's a good mixture of a guy who is not afraid to go into the corners, not afraid to get chippy and aggressive, and sometimes that leads to taking a not so necessarily great roughing penalty in the second period. But he doesn't let that get in the way of the main goal, which is putting the puck in the net and contributing offensively. And I think he does that very well. He doesn't take shifts off, even like this is the preseason, and yet I feel like he's out there giving it the full 100% every time he's out there. He very much embodies the type of player that Canucks fans really like. And yeah, like you said, I think fan favorite is a very good way of putting it. I think that mustache of his is going to become very iconic over time.
He's got a thick stash, and I'm honestly kind of jealous. Like I've got some decent upper lip hair going. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see right now I'm rubbing it all over, but you know what? Like he's got a nice upper lip hair kind of stash going. I thought also tonight, especially the Bo Horvat, Niels Höglander, Tanner Pearson line was very, very good. That has the making of a good almost second line, maybe. I think Bo Horvat is probably the second line center of this team, depending on what they want to do with JT Miller at center. Dowling, Will Lockwood, DiGiuseppe, those guys are playing their way onto the NHL roster. I think that's what, especially DiGiuseppe, because he does kill penalties, and he is a very good penalty killer. I tweeted this out, I think, on the Friday game. DiGiuseppe, Vasily Podkolzin, Jason Dickinson would be a great shutdown line for the Vancouver Canucks. Like, I'm not suggesting that you deploy it right off the hop, because maybe you're not getting too much offense out of that line. But let's say, it's a home game, 3-2, you have last change advantage, throw out that line, they'll put a blanket, they'll shut down any top line that you can throw at them. I really like all three of their two-way games. That could be a great shutdown line.
I think so. I think so too. I think with Podkolzin, especially tonight, I think was a good example of, you know, he's still learning. Like, he's still got a little bit of time. I think especially with him, there's there's clearly a bit of a learning curve there. That's okay. Like, you know, I don't think he needs to necessarily come out and wow people on the first shift. I think sometimes you get that. Sometimes that's asking a lot for a young guy. And I think he's going to get his time. But I do think over time that could be a situation that works. Obviously with the Horvat, Höglander, Pearson line, like that was a line for a lot of last season. They did very, very well. And they had a lot of key moments for this team last season.
You can see they have that chemistry just already.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. They 100% have that chemistry. And they've worked very well together. That's not necessarily come at the expense of other guys. Like they've done the whole group looked pretty well rounded tonight, even with some people like key players missing. And you look at a guy like Will Lockwood, who honestly I realized when we've been talking about, say, like our last guys to make the cut sort of thing is potential fourth line over the last few times we've had this talked about this before, I realized I kept leaving out Will Lockwood and I hadn't really factored him into that conversation. I think a lot of the time we were talking about Jonah Gadjevich, who I still think is doing very well. And I still think has a pretty good shot at
least being one of the last cuts.
For sure. And then you have Lockwood, who came into this game and was an absolute just wrecking ball on the ice, doing just a great job. Like he threw a huge hit in the first period. I think he knocked one of the Jets into the bench. There was one point where I believe he took out. I forget if it was him or if it was someone else, but somebody took out a huge player. So one of the smaller guys took out a huge player. That might have been Connor Garland actually. And then Justin Dowling. As a guy like, you know, the fourth center, he's a very smart player. He does a very good job at, like, you know, he's not flashy. He's not a flashy guy by any stretch, but he does a really good job at going to the right places and putting himself in an opportunity to potentially get a scoring chance. And that doesn't come at the cost of, say, a defense. There was even points tonight where he was getting power play time, which is huge when you're a guy trying to make one of those last cuts. So if you're getting that kind of those opportunities, which, you know, Dowling, Lockwood, DiGiuseppe have all been kind of getting that mixture of like special teams time and just regular shifts and getting a lot of shifts in these types of games, you're clearly in the right spot. You're clearly, it bodes well for you. Yep. It seems that when the coach seems to favor you that much.
On the defensive side, Luke Shen did not have a good game against Calgary. I think it's safe to say he did not have a very good game against the Calgary Flames. And that right side, the defense, that will be, or maybe it won't. Maybe, you know, it plays up to the snuff. But the right side of the defense, especially without Travis Hamonic, and we'll get into Hamonic, I'm sure, a bit later in the podcast. But that right side of the defense is looking like the Achilles heel of this team. If Luke Shen struggles against, you know, elite competition, and if the Canucks have to play him big minutes against elite competition, they may be in trouble this season.
Yeah, I think you look at the way that Shen has played so far. And obviously, it's early, but you know he has looked. I think a little slow at times, not just like from foot speed, but also just in decision making and a couple of the choices he made. I really look at there was the play, I believe, it was the second period where Nikita Zadorov lays a hit on Jason Dickinson. It's a clean hit. There's nothing really wrong with it. It's a perfectly fine hit in the hockey rule book. And you see both him and I'm going to also throw Zach McEwen in here as well. Both Shen and McEwen go up to Zadorov and basically start challenging for a fight in the middle of the play. The puck is behind them. They completely abandoned their post and the Flames score and capitalize on this, on a sudden odd man rush and score. That to me is the type of play that if you're a coach, if you're Travis Green, you're looking at that, and that could be the difference between you, say, getting a spot on the opening night roster and potentially, maybe not for Shen, but more so for, say, McEwen, end up getting you a cut later on. Because if you're putting that sort of thing ahead of trying to defend your own net and protect your goaltender, that's a huge problem. Just those kinds of decisions you can't be making in a proper NHL game when points count. And that's a little worrying. You don't want to see that, especially from a veteran guy like Shen. And right now, if you're looking at that defensive group, I mean, I don't know about you, but personally, I think Brad Hunt's kind of moved himself up in the conversation of late. He can play the right defense when he wants to, when they need him to, I should say. And he's another player that I think very similar to Dowling. Doesn't make flashy plays, but is very solid and makes a lot of smart, low risk decisions that pay off very well. And I think that right now, that's what the Canucks kind of need most from their bottom defense and their lower defense and their bottom six forwards.
Well, if Travis Green ever wants to get off his idea that you can't play the wrong side of the defense, obviously Brad Hunt is left-handed, then sure, I'd put him on the third pair right D for sure. But until Travis Green shows me that he's willing to consider something so out there, like playing someone on your offside, then I wouldn't really put much stock into that. But we have to end on Nick Batan scoring tonight. My boy Nick Batan scoring in the preseason. I feel like I'm the number one Nick Batan stan. That's a good rhyme. Nick Batan stan.
That feels like a shirt. That feels like a t-shirt. Patan
number
stan.
One Nick. Hey, maybe some merch for Locked On Canucks in the future. Nick Patan stan. You know what? He scored tonight, and yeah, there are limitations to his game. I have no doubt about it. Okay, but this guy could be a solid bottom six scoring winger. Hey, maybe even put him on the power play a bit. Maybe put him some second unit power play time. See what he can do there. But hey, Nick Patan, I think he's still, you know, I was thinking earlier in the preseason, man, Nick Batan doesn't have a shot at making this team anymore. But after that goal tonight, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. I think he's back in the mix. I think so.
I think that he is a little bit high. He is probably going to be one of the in the last cuts kind of area. I think his game is very good. I think he has like the pieces there. I think there are maybe guys who fill the roles just a little bit better than what he's best at. And honestly, like, again, like we've talked about before, Nick Batan, even if he does get cut here, he's gonna get so much ice time in Abbotsford and he's gonna get so many opportunities to like keep working on his game. And in some cases you can look at it and say, well, maybe that's the best thing, like just giving him as many reps as possible. Why have him play only say 8 minutes a night in the NHL when you could have him playing 20 in the A? I think he's done a very good job, and he's been like, I think he's been made a bigger impression than I anticipated him making. But I think he'll frankly end up wherever he ends up, I think in this case is going to be the right one.
Yeah, no, he's done an excellent job, and he's going to play his way onto the opening night roster. I'm calling it. I'm calling it right now. I'm not giving up on Nick Batan. Look, he can score
stiff
in the AHL.
He could. It's stiff there, competition,
He can score in the AHL. And you know what? If he does get sent down to the AHL as one of those last cuts, he'll be one of the first call-ups, I think, when there inevitably are injuries with this Vancouver Canucks team. So we're about to get into Jim Benning press conference, always must-see TV, what Jim Benning and Elias Patterson and Quinn Hughes, the boys are back in town. But first, I want to talk to you about DirecTV. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Hey Canucks fans, this is Lachlan Irvin with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code HOCKEY and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app free or use the promo code HOCKEY to get up to 50 cents per gallon of cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cashback, and there's no catch. The cashback gets added right to your account. You can cash out at any time to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just by downloading the free GetUpside app and using the promo code HOCKEY to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code HOCKEY.
All right, we are back on Locked On Canucks. And thank you once again for making Locked On Canucks your first listen of the day. So, Lachlan, we had the Jim Binning press availability today. There's a few interesting things, I guess. Brand Sutter not going to be ready for opening night. I don't think anyone's shocked there. Brand Sutter has a pretty long history of injuries here in Vancouver, but this time he's only making $1 million. So I don't think anyone's going to be too upset about that. Brock Besser out of the rest of the preseason. Hopefully he can be ready for the start of the season. I sure hope so, because that'd be a big piece missing for the Canucks. Jim Benning saying the club is close to 100% vaccinated. He previously guaranteed they would be by the start of the regular season. That was, I believe, his very first press availability for the start of the season. He mentioned that Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are going to try and get him both in a couple of preseason games before the season starts to get him up to speed. In terms of what Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes said, to be honest, nothing much interesting. I think Quinn Hughes at one point said that this is the best team they've had, in his opinion, in the 3 years that he's been a part of the Vancouver Canucks. So, Lachlan, what are your thoughts on Jim Benning at his press availability? Anything interesting pique your interest?
I do think that the thing that the part that interested me the most, frankly, was I think the one that I think caught a lot of people's eyes, just the talking about the Travis Hamonic thing. Obviously, look, we've talked about it many times before. It's been a conversation of, you know, we're like the 99% sure thing about what's going on. Had Jim Benning come out and talk to Ben Kuzma of the province about how people needed to leave it be and just let it be. But then, you know, he comes into his press conference and says, oh, you know, Hamnick's not here. Don't need to read into that. But also the club is close to 100% vaccinated right after that. So basically, again, kind of just telling you what you already, confirming what we already really knew here. There might be some extra part that we haven't talked, that we are not thinking of, that is also included in this. But frankly, this, at the very least, it seems like those two are very clearly one and the same. And at the very least, it seems like the Canucks are doing a decent job at not backing off the stance of, you know, if you're not going to get vaccinated, you can't.
And good on them. And good on them, I think.
And that's what you want. You want, if especially because, and this goes far beyond just the safety of your hockey players. It goes to even just setting a good example for the rest of the province and for other people who might be considering, who might be trying, like, trying not to get vaccinated. So I think that's very important that they're setting that tone, and they keep holding that line very, very, very still here. I think the Brandon Sutter thing, obviously, I think we did see kind of coming, just the fact that we haven't heard anything. Hopefully whatever's going on there, he's doing okay. Hopefully he's doing all right. Just the fact that we haven't heard from him at any point during the last few weeks, I think this was more of again, confirmation of something we kind of already knew. And then the Brock Besser thing, you know,
that's concerning. I'll say that right off the bat. If it's his wrist again, that is concerning.
Obviously we don't know exactly.
Just speculating, but if it is his wrist,
speculating. Yep. It's
time to worry.
It was very much a case of, this was something that I believe came out more or less late. This came out after the Friday game against Calgary or Thursday game, man. That would have been the Friday game. That's right. The Friday game against Calgary came out after Travis Green talked about, you know, he's going to be out at least a week with undisclosed injury. It is concerning. At the very least, you know, it's a little less of a worry to now than it was, say, 2 days ago when Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes were not already here and were not officially signed. But obviously, it's a huge loss, especially after last season when Brock Besser stayed healthy the entire year and arguably, I think, was the team's best player that season.
He was their MVP. I don't think it was arguably. I think he was their team MVP last year.
Yeah, him and Demko, I think, very much carried the load for that team last year, especially after Pettersson got hurt. So yeah, it's a crippling blow to a guy who was just seemed to be rounding the corner into not having to deal with health issues or injury issues. So you hope that timeline is the worst case scenario. You hope that potentially that injury, maybe he can come back sooner rather than later and maybe gets one last preseason game before we get to the real stuff. But, you know, hopefully they're not taking any shortcuts here. It's just, you know, whatever rest he needs, these games don't matter. Whatever rest he needs, get it to him so he's ready to go when the games do count.
Yeah, hopefully Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes don't block a shot like Connor Garland at the end of that Calgary Flames game. Right? Good Lord, man. What? Come on. I know you're a hockey player, and like that's kind of the culture is macho, tough, take those shifts off. But it's preseason, man. Just take a chill pill.
Yeah, Connor Garland, I think, is a guy who is, you know, he's new. I don't think he fully understands what kind of wrath the injury gods have given to the Canucks in their history, or especially the last few years. So I understand that, you know, maybe this is a new thing for him, but yeah, don't tempt the injury gods when you're a Vancouver Canuck. It's a very, very bad time. It looked a little troubling there, especially like, yeah, if you look at the whole Besser situation, had Garland not been able to stay in that game against Calgary and not played tonight, this could be a lot worse for the Canucks. So the fact that he's playing seems that like everything is okay. Maybe don't block as many shots in the preseason. Wait until save it until the regular season, Connor.
Yeah, and in terms of Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and what this means for the rest of the preseason for both of them, look, we mentioned it on a previous podcast, right? Like, these guys are professional athletes in the 21st century. They do not take days off. It's not the 1970s where you're showing up to work off your beer gut, right? Like, these guys are showing up in shape. I'm just more worried about, you know, getting the practice time. You know, we have a new defensive coach, especially for Quinn Hughes and Bradshaw. I would like to have him get a few practices in for Bradshaw and, you know, work on his defensive game. I'm not too worried about the preseason games. I'm just worried. And thankfully they're back in town now. They're going to be joining practice. I'm more worried about them getting the reps in practice more than them, you know, not being in shape for some reason for the start of the regular season because they take a couple preseason games off, right?
Yeah, for sure. The preseason, the games themselves are not going to be a huge issue for Quinn Hughes or Elias Pettersson. I do think that, you know, I think they're going to get the time that they need. Like, I think they're very quickly going to get back into the reps with playing with the group. I mean, they were already on the ice this morning. That was so they've already started getting back into the swing of things in that regard. It's, you know, I think, again, like you mentioned, they're professionals, and not only are they professionals, they're just generational talents in their own right. And I don't think it'll take too long for them to get up to speed. I think it only will take a few extra shifts here and there in practice to get that going for them. I think it's going to be very quickly. They're going to go back to, you know, they're going to be back to their playing at the regular pace. The only thing that might factor in here is, you know, right now, obviously the guy who Quinn Hughes spent most of last season with was Travis Hamonic, who is very clearly not here. So it will be interesting to see who they partner him up with and who they feel is his best bet on that right side. I think right now the answer is probably Tyler Myers. I don't think Tucker Pullman is necessarily that guy. And I don't think Luke Shen has played well enough to warrant putting him there. So right now it kind of feels like Tyler Myers is that guy. So we'll see where that goes. We'll see where they go from here.
Yeah. And Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are definitely not going to be cut. First, I want to talk to you about Indeed. Thanks to the Great Resignation, the job market is filled with once-in-a-generation talent. So how is your organization going to put together an all-star team? Your front office needs an all-star roster. You need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all, attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Indeed is unbelievably powerful hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. With Instant Mash, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description, and you can even invite them to apply right away. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/lockedon.
This episode of Locked On Canucks is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have so many delicious flavors for you to try. Flavors like strawberry, double chocolate, cherry barcia, coconut, and even cookies and cream. And if you haven't tried all their flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of their 9 flavors. I'm currently in college. I'm always running out the door trying to get something to eat before one of my classes. And Built Bar is perfect for that because they're great tasting and they're healthier for me than the average fast food breakfast. They range from 7 to 18 grams of protein per bar and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar per bar, which is great in my opinion. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Order today, and you can even try their limited edition grasshopper cookie flavor just by going to built.com and using the promo code LOCKED15, where you'll get 15% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right, so the first round of training camp cuts have officially been made by the Vancouver Canucks. These are what I call Lachlan, the no-hopers. These are the guys who didn't really have any chance of making the team at all.
It's a little harsh, isn't it?
Was Ashton Sautner ever going to make the Vancouver Canucks out of camp? No.
There's zero chance of that happening. Probably not.
So these are the no-hopers. These are the guys who would need a miracle for one of these guys to make the opening right roster. I'll just read them off right now. So Jared Lukasiewicz, I can't even pronounce that name.
I think you had Lukasiewicz.
Yeah, so he did no chance he was making the team. Vinny Arsenault and Ashton Sautner going down to the Abbotsford Canucks, as well as Tristan Nielsen, Ethan Kepin, Chase Wooters. That was surprising. I thought he had a pretty good, I thought he'd be sticking around camp a bit longer, but not the case. Alex Canuck-Leipert also sent down to the Abbotsford Canucks, and the following players have been loaned to the Abbotsford Canucks: Carl Plasek, Archer Silovs, Jet Wu. And the following players have been designated for assignment to the Abbotsford Canucks: John Stevens, Devontae Stevens, Sheldon Rempel, Spencer Martin, and Victor Pearson and Connor Lockhart back to their respective junior teams. Lachlan, any surprises here for you?
Not necessarily any surprises, I would say. I think this is all generally a group of guys who are not necessarily going to make the team and weren't necessarily had a big chance of, say, even just staying with the bigger group. I know you
mentioned that was a lot more diplomatic than the way I put it.
Yes, exactly. You gotta be diplomatic. That's the goal, right? Chase Waters, you mentioned, he is a guy, you know, he's obviously not on a professional trial.
Is it Waters or Wooters? I heard Wooters.
So Wooters is what people think it's pronounced. It's actually apparently pronounced Waters. I learned that myself, like a couple days ago. He's looked very good. He's on an amateur tryout. So the plan was always that he's going to go to the AHL. He's a guy who's clearly he did very well in the couple games he got, but he's going to get a much bigger opportunity again with the Abbotsford Canucks. So it's more beneficial for some of these guys that they're going to just go right away instead of being on, like, say, the second practice tier group of the day for the NHL team. It's going to be much better for them to immediately go get to know their new coaches in Trent Cull and his coaching staff in Abbotsford and start getting to work there. I believe their training camp starts pretty soon. Tristan Nielsen and Alex Canuck-Leipert are two guys I got to go cover and watch quite regularly with the Vancouver Giants a couple of years ago. Just the fact that you can get more Giants players potentially into your mix as far as like the AHL is concerned and the pipeline is concerned is very good for the Canucks.
And good for the box office for the Abbotsford Canucks too, let's be honest.
Very true. Local prospects are going to garner some more attention, and especially just from local family and friends. So that's good. And I think in both of those cases, those are guys who are going to make a good impact on that Abbotsford team. Vinny Arsenault, obviously a longtime Utica guy, coming to Abbotsford. He is a guy who is known for making the big hits, being a gritty guy. He's going to be a big part of this team as well. And I guess if you wanted to say if there was going to be a surprise out of this group, I guess it would be Jet Wu. Not necessarily because I thought he was going to make the team, more so because I just thought he might get a little bit more preseason time and they might want to get more games in with him against NHL competition. That hasn't been the case, but he's going to get lots of opportunities with the AHL team, and he's going to get probably 20 minutes a night on one of their top pairings. So why not? Why not send him down now and get back to work with the farm team?
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise for me is Chase Wooters / Waters, pronunciation to be determined, I guess. You know what? Like, I thought he was going to make the Vancouver Canucks. I just thought he had a good showing in these preseason games that I saw, and he would stick around training camp a bit longer. But yeah, out of all these guys, he's probably the biggest surprise in terms of first round of cuts. But everyone else, I don't think there's really many two surprises, right? Like, I think, you know, guys like, especially the goalies, the goalie situation is 110% set with the Vancouver Canucks organization. Demko's going to start. Halak's going to be the backup. DiPietro's going to be the starter in Utica. So none of those guys really had a place in camp much longer, right? Might as well send them off and let them develop.
Yeah, especially in Artur Seelov's case, he spent his entire season, when on the few times he wasn't being called up to the Canucks, he was on loan to the Manitoba Moose. So this is his first time playing with on a Trent Cull coach team. This is going to be his first go around. So it's going to be all the more important for him to just start getting those reps in, working with Curtis Sanford, I believe the goalie coach there in Abbotsford. And that's going to be a huge benefit to his career, to his development, to finally get that opportunity to start playing regular games under this coaching staff.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, no real surprises for the Vancouver Canucks, I think, for this round of cuts. I'm sure there'll be a couple when the next round of cuts is announced later in the preseason. But that has it for today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name's Nick Bondi. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick Bondi. Lachlan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Lock in the Crease. You can also find my writing work from time to time at lockinthecrease.com if you so choose. And I also have another podcast called The Crease Cast that you can go check out if you want to.
Yes, and thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen every day. Now make sure your second listen of the day is Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Collin leads on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's a free and available on all platforms. See you tomorrow.